The weeds are not going to win. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. If I had a garden, it would be taken over by weeds, or insects, or rabbits. But God is a much better grower than I am. He's not going to neglect what he planted, despite appearances. We see tares in his wheat field, and we get alarmed, especially when the weeds seem like they're about to take over everything. In the parable of the tares, Jesus taught us to check our impulse to help the Almighty with his hoeing. Here's Jim with part two of the message.
The Bible tells us that all of us are born into Adam's race. And when we're born with sin within our hearts. And if we do not address that problem, then we will live and die as sinners. And that term in Scripture does not mean that you're free to choose. It means you're a slave to powers you cannot control. You are helpless to change your destiny because you are helpless to change your own nature. You come into this world a child of the devil. And unless you are born again by an event that is just as dynamic, just as actual as your physical birth, unless you are born again, you will perish as a child of the devil. Now, most folks don't understand that in the world around us. Most folks think that to become a Christian, to become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, is not to escape, but rather to enter into bondage. In their mindset, we're the ones who are inhibited, the sons of darkness, the sons of night, the sons of Satan, they're the ones who are liberated. Nothing could be farther from the truth. So Satan expends a great deal of energy counterfeiting, deceiving, controlling as best he can the environment around us to make it seem like the sons of light are the fools and the sons of night are free. That's what his word means. That's what his title means, devil. It means deceiver. It means slanderer. It means one who attempts to present himself as an angel of light, although he is helpless to even save himself from eternal damnation. He is prisoner to his own pride, and all those who are his sons are prisoners to their own passions. We should therefore not be surprised when things in our world are decidedly stupid. When things in our world are illogical. When policies and conditions and laws, when things around us make absolutely no sense, we should remember that's because they are largely being manufactured by people who have no sense. They are prisoners to their own sin and bound in spiritual darkness by powers that are greater than they can manipulate and control. Now, I told you this parable would be tough. That's just the first point. It gets rougher. So the first thing we're to learn from this parable of Jesus is that during this time, we're living in a time when both the tares, the sons of darkness, the sons of Satan, and the wheat, the sons of God, sons of righteousness, those who have been born into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ, these two diverse and opposite societies are living side by side in the same world. Secondly, that tells us something about God's grace and mercy. It tells us that at this time in human history, God is not dealing directly with sinners. It tells us that God, in His grace and mercy, at this time in our world, is giving His Son to both the good and the bad. He sends His rain indiscriminately on the righteous and the unrighteous. He withholds His judgment. If you want an illustration of what life would be if God were not acting mercifully and kindly at this time, then think of what happened in Acts chapter 5. A couple sold a piece of land, brought a part of the purchase price, and gave it to the early church leaders, pretending that that was the whole profit. When Peter confronted each of them separately, when they denied the truth, they dropped over dead. That's what life will be like on the earth when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning here. There will be no partial birth. Abortion. There will be prayer at the football games. How can God stomach the kinds of things that are going on in our world? Because God is gracious and merciful, and at this time in God's plan, He purposefully restrains Himself from acting in holiness and righteousness. The mere fact that God, as represented in the parable by the sower, the farmer who sowed good seed, would say to his servants, "Hey, I know how the tares got there. An enemy has done this." That God would even permit such things to happen is a testimony and witness to the patience, long-suffering, and forbearance of God. It's also testimony to a deeper, more significant plan that's being worked out in our world to the wisdom and glory of our Creator. It also exhibits and testifies to the phenomenal confidence God has in Himself. He's not in a panic. He's in no hurry. He's not about to be intimidated into some response by some guy that takes his watch off and says, "If there's a God in heaven, I give you 60 seconds to strike me dead." God doesn't sit up in heaven chewing his fingers and say, "Gee, well, I better act on that one." But God looks down and thinks, "You're an idiot." That's what the Bible says. Didn't make that up. Read Psalm 2. God is absolutely comfortable and competent in His role as God. And He's in perfect control of His creation. You find it as fascinating as I do, perhaps. You have your Bible open there to Matthew chapter 13. When the angels come in verse 41, when the Son of Man will send out His angels, they will gather out of His kingdom. His kingdom. And that His kingdom represents the same territory that earlier is described as the world. See it in verse 38? The field where this sowing takes place is the world. So in this parable, God's given us a global scope, a global picture of all the world. And he is labeling it without embarrassment. It's my kingdom. The world is not Satan's domain. The world belongs to God. He created it, and through Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, he redeemed it back to himself. Satan is being permitted by God at this moment freedom to offer to humanity a second choice. Because God doesn't want sons who have to serve him, who have to love him, who have to put up with God. God wants sons who willingly serve him out of devotion, delight, out of gratitude, out of respect, out of worship. And if you're not willing to do that, that's not what you want, then there is an alternative. And God in his grace, God in his mercy, permits that alternative and permits the whole structure, Satan, demons, etc., that provide the atmosphere so that you have a free choice. You can choose to follow Satan. You can choose to be his son. But that's your only choice. Son of light, son of night. Only two camps. One headed by our Father in heaven through the Son of God. The other headed by the Lord of the earth, Satan, the devil, the deceiver. God permits this. As a matter of fact, in the parable, God not only permits it, God commands it. Look at that. The servants come to the farmer and say, "Sir, we know that you only sow good seed. Where did the tares come from?" And the good farmer says, "An enemy has done this. This is malicious. This is rebellious. This is intentional. This has been done strategically by another person who is my enemy, who seeks to destroy." And the servants immediately say, "Well, shall we then go out and pluck out the tares?" And the farmer in the story depicting God the Son says, "No, let them grow together." Now, I think that says something to me about God's plan in this world today. I think it says to me that there is wickedness and righteousness, and that the righteousness is not going to overcome the wickedness. I think it says to me that God, our Creator and Savior, has pronounced a decree that this world is not going to get better by the sons of God overcoming the sons of darkness. Not going to happen that way. God is going to maintain this status quo, this imbalanced balance. God is going to permit Satan to continue to do his work, and God is going to restrain judgment upon the sons of Satan in their evil until the harvest. That leads me to my third point. Do you recognize from the story that all of the significant things going on in our world are being done supernaturally? The sower is the Son of God, God Himself. The sons, the wheat, the sons of God are people who have been supernaturally saved from their sins by their response to the love and grace of the gospel and through the power and agency of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's supernatural. That's how you became saved. Satan is a supernatural being. He is producing sons. The sons of darkness and the sons in whom God delights, the righteous and the wicked, are growing side by side until the harvest. And the harvest is not, note that, the harvest is not that the sons of light overtake the sons of darkness. No. No, that battle is not for us to fight. When the issues finally come down to resolution and God wants to change the equation, He will send His angels, supernatural beings. Jesus is trying to tell us that while we mortals think we're pretty hot stuff, and while we tend to be pretty arrogant and proud in our smarts and our abilities and our technology and our accomplishments, what we actually know compared to what there actually is less than 0.001%, if even that much. And then while we boast about our freedoms and our rights and our control, we're actually subject to resources and sources and powers that are supernatural. Now let me translate that out for you very simply. The devil is real. Angels are real. Evil is real. And you and I, Christian friend, do not in ourselves have the resources to either control or to change those people around us. And the world in which we live is the byproduct of the majority of the people who inhabit our society. We should not therefore be surprised or stunned when we are ridiculed, mocked by the sons of darkness. Every tear represents a human being who is directly controlled by a supernatural power outside himself. Do you understand that? And unless God supernaturally works in his heart, her heart, and life, that person is powerless to do anything but what comes natural. And the fruit of the flesh is known to all of us. Finally, the parable makes the point that there is a time of harvest. In the passage before you, chapter 13, note with me, please. Just note with me. When Jesus gives the basic elements in verse 37 and 38, he says now the good seed, the one that sows the good seed, Son of God, the field is the world, good seed, sons of the kingdom, tares, sons of the darkness, the evil who sowed them is the devil. Now watch. From there on, for about four verses, Jesus focuses our attention upon the harvest. Look. Middle of verse 39, the harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, will cast them into the furnace of fire. there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, that's 3.5 verses out of, that's more than 50% of the explanation. Surely then, Jesus wants us to know that there is hope, that there is a future. He wants us to know that the tares who appear to be in control aren't really in control. They are usurpers, and they are going to be dealt with. They are going to be dealt with at the end of the age, and when they are dealt with, they are going to experience great pain. There will be a burning furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 41, the angels will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. That means that everything in our world that opposes God, resists God, and doesn't reflect God's righteousness and holiness is going to be destroyed. Everything. Now, while that includes the adult bookstore, it also includes the hospital. All things that are contrary to God and His Word and His righteousness are going to be rooted out supernaturally by the angels, and they are going to be destroyed. All people, those who practice lawlessness, all people are going to be removed, and they are going to be cast into the furnace of fire. You'll note back in the telling of the story in verse 30, the parable says, let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares, bind them in bundles, and burn them. So the first act, when the harvest time comes at the end of the age, will be the gathering out of his kingdom on earth all those persons who are lawless and all of those institutions that offend.
Adrian Rogers cracked, most people want to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. We can be anxious to help God out where He hasn't asked for our input, and less eager to just do what He told us to do. He has a plan for the tares, the sons of the devil planted among the wheat, and it doesn't include us. We just heard the middle segment of Jim's sermon, Seeds and Soils. We offer each talk uncut on CD for your gift of $7 or more. Many, like this one, are part of a series of messages, and the 12 CDs comprising Stories Jesus Told, Volume 1, can be yours for a donation of $42 or more. Whether you request a CD or not, please think about helping us with the expenses of Right Start. We appreciate your prayers and gifts. This is definitely a group effort. Many thanks to those of you who are helping us shine this light in some dark times. Let us hear from you soon, please. Our mailing address is Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. On the internet, we're at rightstartradio.org. You can listen to the entire sermons or the radio shows online. And you can download the sermons, too. We used to charge you a little bit for that, but that's free now. Don't forget the podcast, which will bring the radio shows to you daily on iTunes. To find all those and a way to donate, go to rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. We are all God's creatures, but we are not all God's children. Tomorrow we'll check the parable of the tares once more. Please try to be here for Thursday's Right Start.